from Yoke. You're watching the stream. President Putin's popularity ratings have remained very high since the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That was back on February the 24th of this year. They remained high until he announced the drafting of 300,000 Russian men. And then the popularity just dropped just a bit. We spoke to some Russians a little bit earlier. This is what they told us about that.
I wake up in the morning and among the first things that I do is checking the news. The most dreadful thing that I can imagine nowadays is that partial mobilization in our country has become a general one. And my partner, my friends, will go to this so-called special operation. And I'm not even talking now about multiple arguments that I have had with my parents, because unfortunately older generations support the actions of our president.
And now me and men like me, young men like me, have to literally hide or run out of Russia. And I know so many young men who already leave the country, and it's sad. And now I actually under pressure, and I can't realize what I should do.
Mohammed Vow is reporting for Al Jazeera from Moscow in Russia. Mohammed, it's so good to have you. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from the Russians that you've met so far?
Yeah, Femi, the Russians have this, you know, double thinking about what's going on. On the one hand, they like the idea of a great Russia that Putin trying to sell to them. Of course, the civilization, the history, and the invincible Russia facing the West, trying to protect its values, to protect its history and its future generations, and so on. So they, I mean, at the core, when you talk to them, they like this idea. But when it comes to mobilizing their loved ones to the war, it's a different story. So I mean, they talk in these two veins. You know, on the one hand, they like Putin. He has some popularity. Let's acknowledge that great popularity, actually. But at the same time, as you said in your intro, they don't like how the war is conducted. They don't even like the idea of invading another country. Many of them tell you Ukraine is Russia, it's part of Russia. They talk about the shared history, that Russia actually began in Ukraine, in Kyiv, and so on. They say all of this, but when it comes to the action of going, crossing the border and killing people to get territory, many of them don't like that idea. Particularly, it becomes worse when they are personally asked to go and join, as those two people said. And about the mobilization, if you ask me, they also were very confused about it.
Right.
We can go into that if you like. Yeah.
One more thought that I wanted to ask you about, and that was your ability to report freely. Because at the very beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Russians weren't allowed to call that invasion a war. It was a special military operation. How are you able to report on what is happening?
Right. Honestly, before I came here, I was a bit uncertain about how to go about this. I wasn't sure what to say, and I was hesitant. And when I came here, I got to know that things are not that difficult, at least for foreign reporters. The only red line, really, you know, I'm told again and again here, the only red line is if you report on casualties among Russian soldiers, and if you take that not from the official source of the Ministry of Defense, they have a daily briefing about the casualties and what's happening in the front line. Never try to do that, because that's a red line.
Okay.
The rest is okay. I was able to report everything, to say everything, to analyze, to give my opinion, and so on. Sometimes, you know, in a very limited sense of the word, but also reflecting what's going on and what the people say.
All right, Mohammed Vow, thank you so much. Joining us live from Moscow in Russia, telling us some of the feeling down on the ground from what Russians are feeling about the Russian invasion of Ukraine today. Thank you, Mohammed. So, our conversation. Are Russians souring on what is happening in Ukraine? The Russian invasion, the special military operation, however you want to describe it. Are they souring on that? Here is our comment section. Be part of today's show. Joining our conversation, Stanislav, Natalia, Albert, thank you for being part of our show today. Stanislav, welcome. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
Greetings from Moscow. I'm Stanislav Bishok, PhD in political science and lecturer at Moscow State University.
Good to have you. Natalia, welcome. Please say hello to our audience around the world.
Hello, my name is Natalia Arno. I'm president and founder of Free Russia Foundation.
Good to have you. And Albert, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hello, I'm Albert. I'm a former PhD student in St. Petersburg, and now I'm a runaway or refugee or immigrant in Turkey.
Thank you, Albert, Natalia, Stanislav. I am just going to do a little recap, Stanislav, as to how we got from February the 24th to where we are right now. So February 24th, of course, was the date when Russia invaded Ukraine. And there was a lot of pro-government sentiment. That jumped up. Russians were very happy, many of them. We go to September the 21st, that's when President Vladimir Putin announces his plan to mobilize 300,000 troops. And then September and October, protests breaking out across Russia and men fleeing the country because they're worried that they're going to be drafted. Stanislav, when you talk to the students that you teach, when you discuss what is happening in Ukraine, are they keen on how President Putin is doing and how the Russian military is doing right now? What are you hearing?
Well, generally speaking, my students are mostly foreign students, mostly from China, by the way. So we're not discussing the current issues very deeply. But at the same time, of course, people feel certain uneasiness when asking me as a Russian about the situation on the ground. And generally, of course, students are what they are. They want peace and they do not understand why the conflict between Russia and Ukraine could not be ended through diplomatic negotiations. So they just do not know, do not understand why in the 21st century we have to go to war or to special military operation to decide our issues. That's the general point. And about the current mood, let's say, of the Russians today. Well, as Margaret Thatcher said, there is no such thing as a society, right? So there are individual men, women, and families. The same applies to Russia. So some people back in February, they applauded the idea of launching the special military operation. But there were other people like myself who were really perplexed because I didn't see any good outcome for this campaign. Okay. Not because I am too pro-Ukrainian, but because I am pro-Russian. So for Russia, as my country, I do not see, I still do not see good outcomes for Russia.
Natalia, we have viewers who are watching right now and they have questions and thoughts. I'm going to share a couple of them with you. So this one comes from one of our viewers who says, finally, Russians are starting to realize that expansionist wars are a thing of the past and only bring misery for both the attacking country and the defending country. That's an opinion from somebody who's been following what's been happening in Russia and Ukraine. Natalia, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think that it's very important to call things as they are. Russian invasion of Ukraine didn't start on February 24th. It actually started in 2014, and we had an annexation of Crimea. And what happened on February 24th was just a new stage of this war, a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And it's also important to understand that protests erupted in Russia not just after mobilization was announced in September, but all these years, and especially after the full-scale invasion, Russians were protesting almost every day. There was only one day, according to OVD-Info, June 13, when no one was detained for anti-war protests. And even before mobilization, we had dozens of thousands of people in jail just for this anti-war activity. We had hundreds of thousands of Russians who fled Russia before, again, this mobilization. On September 21, there was a Russia had its February 24th moment because, again, there was a lot of passive supporters of the war who didn't care what was happening, especially in big cities, because, again, those who were sent to the war were mostly from the poorest regions of Russia, mostly national republics. So many Russians didn't feel the impact of the war. But when this started to impact everybody, every family, of course, the realization of what's happening is now bigger. We had also even bigger protests and even more evacuations, emergency evacuations from Russia since that in these 2 weeks.
Albert, I've been listening to two Russian reservists. They've been called up to serve, and they seem quite happy about being called up and being drafted. Let me play their comments first of all, and then I'd really like to hear why you decided you didn't want to fight for your country. Let's have a listen to the reservists.
It means it must be like this, because President Putin has already answered this question. If he ordered mobilization, not a total but a partial one, it means everything is not that scary. It means he knows what he's doing. He's a clever person.
Full speed ahead for Mother Russia. This way there is no fear anymore.
Albert, so you served in the army, you were formerly in the army, but you decided you were going to leave Russia so you don't get drafted in again. Why?
Yes, after being brought to the army 10 years ago, and after all my negative experience in the Russian army, I became a political activist in the end of the in the beginning of the 2012. And so, it is the experience of the army and the experience of the state violence that I suffered in army made me a political activist. And so, in the 2022, my reaction as an anti-Putinist, as a left liberal, was obvious. And so if you consider the president as a dictator, is you consider your state as a repressive state, repressive for the whole people, so the war that was launched by this state and by this president, you see it as a criminal war in which you don't want to take part.
I'm going to show the popularity ratings of President Putin as they've changed from August all the way through to September. I'm going to show this for you so that you can see it at home or wherever you're viewing from. So is the country going in the right direction? 67% yes, 60% not so much. This was after the draft was announced. Do you approve of Putin's activities as president? 83% yes in August, 77% not so much in September. These ratings are still high, Stanislav. Why?
Well, first of all, we're speaking about a tiny percentage of the population who actually agree to answer these questions, especially in these times, because to the best of my knowledge, it's about maybe only 2 in 10 persons, so about 20% just agree to answer. And of course, if they agree to answer, and they are, let's say, cognizant, or at least they're afraid that they can make a wrong, so to speak, answer. So the percentage of those who say that they support the current government or its actions, I mean, it's it gives us a somewhat distorted picture, of course, of reality. And at the same time, if we do not see too much protests nowadays, doesn't mean that people once again applaud what's going on. Because back in the day, I mean, let's face it, during this most of the period of this military operation, it was waged on the Russian side by the professionals. Maybe that's why it's called special military operation. So special guys did the job, right? And so many people who were basically opposed to this conflict, they still remained in Russia proper and didn't want to flee because, yes, they were against it, but still it did not affect their lives so much. But when this partial mobilization was announced, of course, they realized that now it's their problem and not the problem of military professionals. And at the same time, for some, it gave a picture that something may be going not according to the original plan, right? If you have to draft more people to the army, then, well, something is maybe something is changing in the general attitude of the Russian authorities on how to wage this military operation and how to win it, if it's possible, of course.
I completely agree with Stanislav that, yes, it's very difficult to trust the opinion polls, especially when you have such a repressive machine in the country, and the denial rate to answer questions about the attitude to the war or support to the Kremlin and Putin's regime in general is much higher than prior to this full-scale invasion. And but as I said, there are a lot of protests immediately. We see a lot of activity that people do in underground. There are a lot of derailing trains or setting conscription centers on fire, and a lot of ethnic minority groups appeared who started to inform their communities about this war and trying to explain how to terminate their contracts, how to avoid mobilization and things like that. We had never had such a vibrant ethnic minority community, because Russia is not only 11 time zone country, but it's also has over 190 ethnic minorities, and many of them are used as a cannon fodder by the Kremlin's regime and sent to Ukraine. The chance of being sent to Ukraine, if you are from the Republic of Buryatia, for example, is four times higher than if you are in any other Russian region. The possibility to die in this war, for example, for a person from Buryatia is nine times more, for a person from Tuva is 10 times more, for a person from Chechnya is three times more. So all these regions suffer more, and people there are doing much more to try to save their communities. So we see a very vibrant activity in this field.
Mm-hmm. Earlier we spoke to Elina, and Elina is the director of the Nordic Ukraine Forum. She had a very particular point of view on the Russian men who decided that they would rather flee Russia than be drafted. This is what she told us earlier.
During the last month, there are thousands of people who live in Russia due to the mobilization in the country. They should stay in Russia, and Europe should not open the borders, because these people have glorified the war in Ukraine. These people haven't protested when the genocide was going on in Bucha, in Irpin, and so on. The only thing that made them go to the streets and go to Europe was the fact that they will be killed in this war. Moreover, for Europe, it is a security issue, because these people have the imperial colonial consciousness, and tomorrow they will be asking to have their Russian vault where they are now. They are not victims. They are those who need to stop the war that their country has started.
Albert, we have a number of people online who are trying to work out what Putin's strategy is. And as a former member of the military, you might be able to help us out a little bit. One viewer says that Putin became overconfident because in Georgia things went his way, and then again in Crimea, and he thought he could do it a third time again returning to Ukraine. Do you think that's the military strategy? He managed to do it fairly quickly. We're not expecting anybody to be upset about this. We're moving, we're takeover. Didn't work that way. What do you think, Albert?
My military experience, my army experience had nothing to do with military, with the army. It was just about washing, and so it was not. It has nothing.
So, Albert, to you have about as much military experience as the people in our YouTube comments section. So that's what they were suggesting. So I would say you probably have more than they do.
I wasn't even allowed to take a rifle in my hand.
I hear you. I hear you. I want to move on to another thought here, Stanislav, and this is really about the economic impact of what this special military operation, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, is having on Russia. This is Yvonne. She spoke to us a little bit earlier.
There's been an ongoing debate as to whether Western sanctions have been doing enough to hurt the Russian economy. But with Putin's recent mobilization decree and illegal annexation of four Ukrainian territories, we've entered into a new phase of the war where the Russian economy will be directed toward prioritizing wartime efforts, and the Russian workforce is facing, at minimum, a loss of hundreds of thousands of workers. This is occurring at the same time that global energy prices are falling, the EU is preparing to ban purchases of Russian oil, and the West is preparing new sanctions and an oil price cap against Russia. All of this will likely undermine consumer confidence and the long-term growth potential of the Russian economy.
I'm wondering, Stanislav, is the impact of sanctions, is that now impacting how Russians are feeling about war in Ukraine?
Well, first of all, just for the record, I completely disagree with the statement by the a previous speaker, the Ukrainian female, who said that all Russians are responsible. So I think this view is cannibalistic. So it's unacceptable, I think. So, and to return to your question, well, generally speaking, of course, nowadays the prices are not skyrocketing, right? So, but a lot of people tend to buy less and to save more, because they nowadays they cannot plan for the future. So their horizons of planning, so to speak, they shrunk from, let's say, a couple of years to a couple of weeks or a couple of days. That's the problem. Moreover, when I ask those who are supporting the special military operation, I ask a simple question. Do you realistically think that if we win this fight, the regular Russian people like us will live better and will be more secure than when we lived back prior to the 24th of February? Can you realistically say that this whole military operation will make us all more prosperous and more secure? And they are, let's say, they are very uneasy in answering this question. They say something like, well, we don't know, it remains to be seen, but nobody said that, of course, we will live more happily and we'll have more prosperity.
I want to bring one more voice into our conversation, and that is the voice of President Putin, who here is addressing government and suggesting that it's the West who is committing war and atrocities against Russia rather than Russia doing that in Ukraine. Let's have a look, let's have a listen.
Советского Союза нет.
I want to emphasize once again and precisely, in its greed and in the intention to maintain its unlimited power, there are real reasons for the hybrid war that the collective West is waging against Russia. They don't want freedom for us. They want to see us as a colony. They don't want equal cooperation, but robbery. They want to see us not as a free society, but as a crowd of soulless slaves for them. They see as a direct threat to them our thought and philosophy. Therefore, they encroach onto our philosophers. Our culture and art is a danger to them, and therefore they are trying to ban it. Our development and prosperity is also a threat to them. Competition is growing. They don't need Russia at all, but we need her.
So much going on online on our YouTube comment section. TG, there's no peace until Russians leave every inch of Ukrainian territory. Putin let the Russian people be drained of their wealth. And one more thought here. Russia will pay the bill for the crimes committed against Ukraine. And also, Russians are good people. It's the presidency that is the problem. So many thoughts going on here on our online conversation. But thank you, Stanislav, Natalia and Albert, for helping us explore what Russians are feeling about the Ukraine invasion at the moment. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'll see you next time. Take care.